I couldn't remember everything he said, but I do remember this. He came from very far and had been trying to speak to me for a while. Although he wasn't from there originally, he was leaving for Epsilon Eridani, on a mission to help people fleeing a disaster, as their star was becoming harmful to them. He wanted to contact me to tell he would be back, and would always look after me. I saw him leaving afterwards in a spaceship shooting towards the sky. 2 years later I moved to Paris to complete studies in fine arts. I made some friends versed into the paranormal with whom I experimented with a Ouija tablet. This very nasty thing is used to call spirits. Well, you must never, ever use it. It works, and that is the problem. It is utterly dangerous, as it opens a portal through which anything, absolutely anything, can enter, and you have no control at all upon that. Honestly, Ouija tablets should be withdrawn from the market. One evening during a session, an alien male entity named Anax manifested and ordered us to stop immediately, for our safety. Thrilled by our little paranormal adventures, we didn't listen, and I was possessed by an evil spirit, which unfortunately led me to require an exorcism. A traumatic experience, which could have been avoided if I had only listened. Repeating, Ouija tablets should be withdrawn from the market. But then who was Anax? This extraterrestrial being who had tried to protect me? I had never heard that name before. 1 year later again, I remember having a vivid dream, and it seemed even more disturbingly real than the previous times, because the physical sensations were extremely real. I found myself again in the same ship, that I now could recognize as well as the crew. There was a great dynamic atmospheric energy in this ship and him, of course, my mysterious friend and protector, the one with shoulder-length wavy blonde hair and magnificent clear blue eyes, was there, wearing a shiny pale blue uniform. This time, I remembered his name for the first time, Thoran, but I couldn't recall our whole conversation. I can remember the jovial atmosphere and his excitement inviting me to try one of the pilot seats. I was very apprehensive at first, but the other pilot encouraged me as well and, complying to the promise not to touch anything and keep my hands on my knees, I accepted the invitation with shyness. It felt so comfortable. The chair seemed to adapt to my body as if it was made of some sort of intelligent matter. Thoran explained to me all the controls and fascinating details about navigation, and this was when I learned that he was the ship captain. I recognized the blonde lady with the big green eyes, who had appeared in the wall when I was 13. It felt so strange being in her presence once again. The co-pilot beside me had slightly different features than the rest of the crew. Although he also had blonde hair, they were scarcer and short. His face was more elongated and he had a prominent chin. His eyes were also different, more slender and indigo, nearly black. He had a thin and hooked nose. His name was Valnik, and I would learn later that he is originally from Epsilon Eridani and Thoran's best friend. Despite the fact that the memories of encounters with Thoran and his companions were always associated with UFOs, I couldn't acknowledge it, because TT would have meant acknowledging also something else, something very frightening, which I knew was hidden somewhere underneath these delightful moments with handsome blonde alien people. Terrifying denied memories that I know, now, were linked to the Grey's abductions. For my sane and safe denial, although I knew they weren't, all of these memories needed to be just dreams, and Thoran and his friends were some sort of guardian angels. I kept drawing them again and again in my notebooks, strange night after strange night, for years. One winter when I was 22, I was at my art school in Paris, sitting bored in the classroom looking through the window. The sun was shining and reflecting a beautiful sunny afternoon, and suddenly, I was projected mentally but very vividly into a futuristic city with high towers and many elegant bridges. It was astonishingly beautiful, and I understood then why I used to love modern bridges so much. It was because they reminded me of this place. I knew it was on another planet, and I also knew I was in contact with someone else who was there, and that was how this connection was made, which allowed me to see this place. I could feel his presence strongly within my heart, nearly as if I could even hear him breathing. Then, The vision switched off. It wasn't very long after that when, still in the same school in Paris, I was standing in an administration office waiting for a paper to be signed, when something disturbing happened. A sharp pain brutally drilled in my skull where I know now the alien implant is located, and I fell to my knees from the pain. The woman in the office ran around her desk to come and assist me. The pain had extended into my left ear and I heard a loud plop inside of it. It's the same feeling as when you're in a plane and your ears pop from the pressure. The woman lifted me up on my feet and at this very moment, I heard a clear, loud, pristine young male voice inside of my left ear say, "Sorry for the pain, we are just trying something." I panicked but pulled out my very best efforts to hide it and explained to the lady it was just migraines and tiredness. She luckily believed me and let me go. I never heard his voice again speaking this vividly in my ear until many years later, but by then I was confronted to admit the truth, these dreams, all these years, had never been dreams. In 1994, life in Paris was harsh. I was struggling to make a living, between a part-time job in cosmetics, a work in a dance company and studying archaeology at the Louvre University. I was 26 years old and willingly single, not finding men in general to be much of a fulfilling company. My father had just been shot dead in Marseille and I also had to rescue my younger sister from the grip of a psychopath. So at this stage in my life, I was literally physically and morally exhausted. One night, surrounded by a bright shining light, I was transported again, very unexpectedly, into the ship. This time, Thoran wasn't there. Instead, the other blonde alien named Valnek, Thoran's friend, welcomed me, accompanied by the blonde lady with the beautiful green eyes. The fabric of their suits resembled a sort of smooth and translucent thick plastic with buttons and control panels incorporated, throughout which helped me guess the color of their blue uniforms. They said Thoran was on duty very far away, so they had decided to abduct me to cheer me up. They took me for a very exciting tour in space where I saw wonders, then brought me back home. From this journey, I keep having faint memories of amazing starry skies and colored planets, but from this day, I felt stronger and more hopeful in life. I was beamed down and, this time, allowed to remember everything. They certainly started to trust me because I had never told anyone, and if this little escapade had the purpose to cheer me up, so yes, I was meant to remember. After this adventure, I don't recall having been on the ship for many years, but sometimes, I could feel Thoran's protective presence from afar. Life went by, I received a degree in archaeology, got a job in Egypt and came back to France 8 years later where I married, divorced, and then moved to Ireland at the age of 40. During all these years I kept the fascination for the starry skies, the Pleiades and the Stardust Trail of the galaxy. The call was so intense that there were some nights when I would avoid going outside, in fear of being recklessly spellbound by the beauty of the heavens. Until the night where all changed again. The story takes us back now to the year 2018, on the west coast of Ireland where I lived at the time. A flash of sparkling light showered one night down upon me in my bedroom, and I was beamed me up inside the ship in a big flash of blue light. They were back. This hadn't happened for years, and as I could feel the cold, solid, tiled white floor under my bare feet, I realized where I had been transported. I broke in tears in Thoran's arms, hiding my face into his hair. I could feel the roughness of the fabric of his blue uniform under my fingers, understanding that the glittery aspect was due to tiny protective particles of metal acting like an armor and reflecting the light. He was holding me strong, laughing with joy. Geez! He had strong arms. The skin in his neck had a strange fragrance which could be similar to vanilla, and his body was warm. I could feel the soft, silky texture of his hair on my face, and in this very moment, the only thought in my mind was, this is home. Thoran was like a brother to me, my true family. "I missed you," he whispered in my neck. His warm breath gave me goosebumps and I replied the same. We didn't want to let go of each other, but someone else was also waiting for a hug, the blonde lady with the mesmerizing green eyes. She never showed such warm affection towards me before, but that night, she held me briefly but strongly in her arms, and it was the very first time I remembered seeing a smile on her face. Her body was slim and firm, and her hair as soft as silk. Valnek was there too, radiant with joy, as well as two other humanoid crew members. But I think the best way to describe this particular event is as following. I woke up between midnight and dawn because something very intense had happened, as if I had just gotten back to bed after having done something very active and awake. I knew this feeling well. All the memories rushed suddenly into my mind and I got up with haste, running down to the kitchen to grab a paper and a pen. Before the brain fog sealed my mind into oblivion, rapidly, I wrote what was still fresh in my mind before it blurred away. I forced my memory and fought. Poured a mug of coffee and focused. And here is what I wrote that night. I managed to pierce the coat of blurriness with great effort and here it is, the ship. Invisible from the outside, well visible from the inside. It has golden white walls with apparent machinery and control panels. A big window opens on the sight of a myriad stars. It is beautiful. There are two very comfortable seats facing it. It is always the same ship, I recognize it. I was invited to try one armchair, the left one. It was amazingly comfortable. I remembered I had tried it already by the past. Thoran laughed. He said my hair were more brown before. He found it interesting. He touched my hair and smiled, intrigued. He is very sweet and caring with me. We hug a long time. He says he missed me and I replied he missed him too. He smells good. His uniform is made of tiny particles of metal. The lady, she hugs me too. It is the first time I see her smiling to me. She seems very glad to meet again. The two other ones are here. They know no time. They know no distance. They come from another dimension, or I think if not, no, they're not. They use interdimensional travel for convenience. Thoran, Valnek and her. I don't have her name. She is very discreet, occupied, busy. She fascinates me. The men are curious and nice, very dynamic and happy to have me here. It is like a group of old friends. We exchange a conversation, sometimes spoken and sometimes telepathically. They say they protect me wherever I go, wherever I am. The veil of mystery started to lift after all these years and some doubts needed to be clarified. He did. I say I want to stay with them and they say nee, but Thoran tells the others could join the Galactic Federation, that they would find me a job. Thoran laughs but the others they don't find it funny, and their serious looks put an end to the idea. Even if Thoran is in charge of the ship, he has more power to decide for this. Jumping some forward. She fascinates me. I have so many questions to ask her about what happened many years ago, when she appeared to me in the wall of my bedroom, but she isn't willing to reply. She seems not allowed. Ah, Thoran says they are coming back and I will know about it shortly. They were away for a while because there was a war somewhere else. Now they're back because something very important is going to happen for planet Earth. Thoran says in 2 years' time something very frightening will occur and it will be a switching point for humanity. All fades away now, but as I fight to grasp the last bits of memory, I know they are a mix from the Pleiades, Sirius and Epsilon Eridani. Who is from where I am not sure still, but they said they rescued me from the grey aliens who abducted me when I was a child and since, they are protecting me. This I know now, because we spoke about it. I feel privileged and grateful to them. Now, all is gone. I have only left what is written on this piece of paper. Well done, Knight. They finally told me about the Greys, about what happened to me when I was a child but not everything. Thoran said I wasn't ready yet to hear the whole story, because it was too traumatic. He added that one day, I will know everything. This knowledge started the mechanism of a change within the core of my consciousness. They had unlocked something and from this day, my life changed. They were back. They mysteriously said I would know about it later and indeed, very shortly afterwards, On the night of the 9th to the 10th of November 2018, I saw the orange ships hovering over the bay, reflecting their lights on the water, flying swiftly and playing in the sky. My heart jumped with joy. I was feeling them so near, they were back into my life after all these years in which I almost forgot about them. The following morning, Irish newspapers printed that there had been UFO sightings over the west of the country. The radio recordings of pilots SOH had flown over that area and the air control tower's transmissions went viral on internet. They were back, because something, a mysterious event, would occur soon, in 2 years' time. In autumn 2020. Here is the copy of the article I found corresponding to my contact experience. UFO spotted flying over Ireland at very high speed by several pilots as Irish Aviation Authority launches investigation. One pilot asked air traffic control if any military exercises were taking place. A number of pilots flying over Ireland last weekend spotted a UFO off the coast of Kerry, it has emerged. The Irish Aviation Authority has launched an investigation into the incident after the Shannon Airport Air Traffic Control Unit was asked if any military exercises were taking place. The UFO was spotted off the coast of Ireland, stock image. One pilot from a British Airways flight, who is not identified in the recording, asked mid-flight at 6:47 last Friday, TT was moving so fast that I couldn't even really see it. The pilot goes on to describe how a bright light sped past the aircraft heading north at a very high speed. Two other pilots also reported seeing the mysterious object, with one Virgin Airlines pilot discussing the possibility of a meteor with multiple objects following the same sort of trajectory. Very interesting report on Shannon High Level Friday, 9 November at 3:02 with multiple aircraft with reported sightings of a UFO over County Kerry. Another pilot added their shock at the speed of the unidentified object, saying the acceleration was astronomical, it was like Mach 2 inches. Shannon Airport informed the pilots they would be looking into the reports after other further sightings of the UFO. The Irish Aviation Authority has confirmed they will be investigating the incident. They told the Irish Examiner, following reports from a small number of aircraft on Friday, November 9th. Of unusual air activity. The LA has filed a report. Shannon Airport confirmed they would be looking into the incident. This report will be investigated under the normal confidential occurrence investigation process. It's not the first sighting of a UFO in Ireland. 7 months later, on the day of my birthday on June 2019, on the summer solstice, I switched off unexpectedly. The evening before, as I was admiring the sunset standing at a field's gate, I heard Thorun's soft and beautiful voice in my head, "This is only the beginning." I didn't quite get it at first, but straight afterwards, on the following evening, I collapsed inside. It was terrifying. I was propelled into the darkest unknown areas of my subconscious. All, literally, switched off. At first, I thought I was worn out by too much work. Nope. Not that. In truth, I had started the journey of the dark night of the soul, which would lead to an amazing awakening of consciousness. I couldn't stand any loud sound or social interactions, all I wanted was to curl up in a corner of the bed and be left alone, in the silence. Yes, the silence was what I wanted most. I was unable to think, act, it was like being in limbo, total reset. Very frightening. I even wondered if I was having a depression. No, my thoughts were positive and bright, my self-confidence unaltered. A burnout? Neither. Then, I started having dreams of my childhood's abduction by the grey aliens, which I had denied to non-existence. It was the last thing I needed to cleanse in order to go forward, towards the next chapter of my life. These glimpses of unwanted memory started to obsess me, more and more intensively, and I was fighting it because it was unbearably traumatic. But it was coming back with resilience, night after night, stronger and stronger. I was having traumatic memories involving medical instruments and terrifying huge obsidian eyes staring at me from above. All my life, I was always unable to look at pictures of small grey aliens. the harmful ones. Their image had always inspired terror in me, but now, I was uncontrollably forced to face it. I knew a terrible pain was locked with the vision of their faces and their evil lifeless eyes. I cracked up. And I felt suddenly an energy blockage popping open, our lid, which had been stopping me physically to speak. It was time to, bravely, do something about it and seek the help of a professional. I made some researches thinking precisely about hypnosis. I was terrified, but I had to do it, no turning back. At the same time, my whole spiritual world was rocked upside down. All I knew was shaken to the core. I was shifting, ascending, connecting to my higher self and the true nature of my being, and to the purpose of my mission in this incarnation. Additionally, I realized also that sound was everything. That the methods used by my ancestors were just cultural ways and tools to apprehend the same thing, the life force, but also the frequencies of sound binding matter together. Everything was vibrations and frequencies, and knowing the right frequency could modify matter, healing altered tissues. I suddenly saw the bigger picture, that we are blind with our open eaves, that there are other densities of matter imbricated, like different notes of music composing the same melody, the multiverse. I saw all this, the illusion of the matrix, the infinite and ubiquitous quantum continuum. I understood the true power of frequencies, and what was my path ahead. The universe, or my benevolent alien friends, put me in contact with an amazing woman who conducts quantum hypnosis in the United States and specialized in the matter of alien abductions, Elisa Herrera Wright. She truly was the right person, sent by the universe, because she changed my life. As time for my appointment approached, I felt them nearer. It was terrifying. I was so brave, but I was living only to know. In fact, I had been living to know my entire life. 2 weeks before the scheduled hypnosis session, I had an unexpected encounter. Once again, I was lifted in the blue beam and transported to the ship. After Thoran held me in his arms with great joy, he introduced me to a tall and slim alien creature standing just a few steps away, behind him. The creature came forward with a radiant smile. His skin was brown and he had beautiful almond-shaped indigo eyes, a small nose and a large high skull. He was smiling at me, radiant with so much love and affection, and despite his disturbing alien appearance, I felt compelled to hug him. This was so weird. His body felt like skin on bones, but his skin was smooth. It seemed to me we knew each other like old friends, even family, and the pure powerful love emanating from him was like a vortex. My heart was pouncing with joy and believe it or not, I kissed his cheek. He laughed, and considered me with sparkles in his beautiful indigo eyes. I came straight away from Orion. I feel so glad to see you again, my child. I am Anax. Headline next is Retrieval. Quantum hypnosis. The sequels of these events have been in the background my whole life. The horrible, but also, the marvelous. Because generally these kinds of experiences don't even equal the worst nightmares, I had locked mine in a box and hid it in my subconscious, in the shadow behind the shadows. I hid it very well, making sure I would never find it again. Well, I did, and in the box was a surprise, a beautiful key of starlight. Memories are never erased for good, they are hidden in a little corner of your brain, in an awkward place cut from all communication with the central core. The system cannot find them. The access is severed, and the brain considers it lost or that it has been destroyed. But it's not. Hypnosis cannot lie, and I didn't expect at all what was coming. By setting free the fears locked into that Pandora box, I also set free other blockages in different domains of my life. Since then, I could finally move on and heal. When the box opened, aside with traumatic memories came out a beautiful gift, reconnecting with my rescuers. These benevolent aliens had always been there, all my life, watching over me not to fall again into the claws of darkness. For darkness was looking for me, because they had a job to finish. Which thankfully, they never did. When I underwent my first Quantum hypnosis session in December 2019, I was terrified in advance to have to go back to my first memory when the little grey creature came out of the wall, and to what happened after I lifted in the air above the cot. Did I really want to do this? Really? From behind my granny's left shoulder, came through the wall a creature the size of a child with grey skin, huge eyes, wide skull and frail limbs. He was wearing a skin-tight suit. Lying down going through the hypnosis process, I started to shake with fright. The therapist helped me calm down. She reassured me and told me to look at the scene from outside my little body as a spectator, and describe everything without fear. This is when the missing parts lined up, as the pages of an open book. Concentrated in her reading, my granny didn't see the two little grey creatures emerging from the wall. As I screamed, my grandmother dropped her book and started inspecting my teeth. No, it's not my teeth. I was screaming inside. There are monsters coming out of the wall. But at this age, you can barely speak, so I started ing with despair for not being understood. The next thing I remember, my granny was gone and a bright light was pouring down over me from the ceiling. Two small grey beings with black obsidian eyes approached and surrounded me. Suddenly, my little body lifted in the air, in the light beam, framed by the two scary creatures. And I was flying up, up. Until I eventually landed on a cold flat, metallic ground. The room was bathed in twilight. There was a dimmed light flowing from the ceiling like a soft, ambient projector. It was cold. They lifted me without touching me, remotely, standing on either side of me. It seemed they were using an anti-gravity method, floating in the air. I was starting to feel paralyzed, more exactly my little body was unresponsive to my will. I was experiencing a deep fear, but something was strange. My abductors were acting with gentle moves, as if they didn't want to scare me more than I was. And although they looked terrifying with their huge head and big black eyes, I could notice slight caring smiles on their lips, exactly like nurses would. They floated me to a room where I was laid on what resembled a medical table. I had no idea at that age what a medical table was and what it could involve, so I didn't stress further. There were four. One touched my leg in a reassuring gesture. He was trying to calm me down, but I was terrified. I saw, in the corner of my vision, one of them taking from a side table a square flat device, with buttons on it and black cables coming out of it. I heard in my head the voice of the one who had his hand on my leg, saying, "Everything is going to be all right." One of the other creatures applied the device on my sternum and it felt like shaking and buzzing inside of me, and suddenly, I felt relaxed. On my right, standing at the hair of my head, another creature pulled towards me a sort of long device that he applied on my thorax, then on my thymus, and my chest started to glow red from the inside, spreading a delightful warmth in my whole body. This wonderful sensation relaxed me, and I could breathe better. My body stopped shaking. The creature with the hand on my leg removed it. I was feeling drowsy when the two gentle small greys left. I felt so relaxed now. I didn't feel fear anymore. I believe it was because of what they did to my chest. The walls in this room weren't straight, no angles, are like carved organic shapes from a same block, as if the furnitures and the walls were part of the same matter. The air was a bit thinner. They left me there for a short while until I heard the automatic door behind me. Someone entered the room. A tall being appeared, walking towards me, looking like the other ones but so much taller. He started to examine my face, my ears, my jaws. He grabbed my face gently and turned my head to examine it. He had clear brown skin, a big head and large indigo eyes, and seemed very familiar. He didn't want to harm me and acts with slow and caring moves. He just wanted to check that I'm okay. He leaned over me now. He was so close. The tall creature was looking for something on my body. He took my left wrist, squeezed it, then looked at me, smiling paternally. Then, he left by the same door he came from. I knew him. Had seen this being a few times in my life, in my dreams. drawing a Vanax and one of his helpers. There was light again and the four small greys were back. I was feeling very sleepy. They brought me floating to the airlock in the ground and lay me down on there's a transparent round glass tile, where there was light coming from under it.